Okay, everybody, welcome to the call today. Everybody's in a good mood, a lively mood, for whatever reason. So in the last week, I gave you the exercise to write all the reasons that you were the person to do the work you're doing, and also come up with, if possible, some market data that you could use in your marketing. Now, anytime you can come up with a reason, an argument, build a case, have an example, show a testimonial, whatever it is, it can be something that you can use in your marketing, either in a conversation, in your materials, in an article, whatever. So it's a good thing to always be thinking of this. This is not something that ends. Every time I'm meeting with a client, practically, I think of a new idea that could be a useful attention getter for my business. So I was talking to another client yesterday who teaches companies how to improve their online learning. Online learning often isn't effective at all. And so he has an 8-step grid. Instead of just information, it's involvement. Instead of this, it's this, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, maybe you ought to consider doing a kind of a questionnaire or a scorecard on this that you could put on your website or use in some way. And he loved that, and he's going to do that. And I said, not only could you have a scorecard, you could actually have the scorecard connect with email, and when they fill out the scorecard, the results could be sent back to you. Now, that will entail a programmer to do a few things, but it's not ridiculously hard to do. And I said, I've had that scorecard on my site for, I don't know, for years and years and years, but I've never had it set up so the results come to me, and then there could be an autoresponder sent to people saying, I noticed here was your score, et cetera, would you like to talk, and perhaps I could help you. So there's always something new that you can do. And I'm not just talking about your website, in a presentation, in talking to somebody, in giving people a handout, in proving a particular point, in emphasizing something that you haven't emphasized before. Who was it that just shared with me? Was it Sarah, who is not on the call yet, who was talking about some way she could talk about her business that she thought was more impactful. So it's a never-ending thing. In any case, who did not send that to me? A couple people did not. I got one from you. Didn't? Okay. I got Oliver's. I've got.
Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi there. We're just getting started. I think I got Roberta's. Did you give me the list of all the things yet? The market data things, Carol? Not to put you on the spot or anything, but.
No.
No, you didn't. Okay. Sharon, I don't think didn't. But Sarah did, et cetera. That's something, that exercise is still hanging out. You know, I have a sheet here in which I track your progress. I have check marks, who's done it and who hasn't. There's thing, you know, so I know what the heck you've done. So whoever has not done that thing, I want you to do it when you can, perhaps in the next 2 weeks. Although I have a big assignment for you the next time. Okay, what I want to do today, I want to have a conversation more about, you know, where you are in the program right now. We're a little past a third of the way through the program. This will be the eighth out of 20 sessions. So most of you have some real momentum. I'm just looking at the people on the screen. Roberta has done her website. She's out there networking. She's got a couple clients. She's got speaking engagements set up. Carol has launched her new program, and she's got people in it, and she was really happy with the first session. Sharon is progressing brilliantly with her new website. She had some bumps there along the road where, you know, no ideas would come, but now the ideas are really starting to flow. The stuff she sent me today was just mind-boggling about her course program. I didn't have a sense of really what it was, and she really put me in the experience today. Nancy has made a lot of improvements to her website, and now she has almost more clients than she can handle, probably not due to me, but she's out there and connecting with people, and things are happening. She's getting bids for jobs, and she's been quite busy in filling her bank account, right?
Yeah, with Zoom projects, which I never would have done without you.
Right, yeah. So that's a lot of people have used Zoom.
Yep.
Sarah Jane has completed her website, and it's really good, really, really good. Probably the bestest, fastest writing. She had to put up with me not being able to keep up with her, not getting back to her fast enough, which I've apologized many times to her for, but we've got a website, and it will be up on the web live in a couple days. Oliver has completed his website, and he's battling the inertia of picking up the phone. But every time we're making little inroads into that and creating scripts and getting referrals and stuff like that. So Oliver is often running on his outreach, mostly for referrals. And Leanne seems to be the busiest person in the group. But she's working on her web page, and I'm going to be helping her more on that as we go. She is doing some outreach. She has, Leanne, did you get that client yet that wants to do your big coaching training program yet?
Funny you should ask. I just saw an email from him saying that the administration's not going to support it.
Ah, that's too bad.
At this time, at least.
Was that the one in the bigger company?
No.
No. So that's a potential still, right, that you're working on?
I haven't heard from her in a while, even though I reach out to her periodically.
Okay.
So I have a couple of things coming. I had a conversation with my local community association. They've bought a new piece of property, and part of it's going to be rented to corporate, and they're looking for partners who can offer them something unique. And so I have an in on it, and I need to write something up for them. And then I'm speaking on Saturday at an ADHD coaches conference.
Okay, great. Are there potential clients there?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have your plan to get your report to people?
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to a client the other day who I told my surefire way of getting cards, and he said, oh, I forgot to do it. If I could have reached to the computer and shook him a bit, I would have. It's like, okay, it really works. Does anyone want the report? Hands? Great. Hand me your cards. You get 80% of cards almost always. It's a powerful strategy. So what I'd like to do, I'd like people to kind of share. I've told you, you know, things that you're doing, but I want you to share where you're at in this program, not just in terms of the things you're doing, but in your struggles, in your wins, in your where your confidence is, where your plans are, just sort of how you're feeling now that we've gone through all the basic, most of the basic information of the course. Now we start getting into fine-tuning things. We're really going to get into supporting you with your marketing outreach and marketing action plans and all that kind of stuff. But where are you right now? Who would like to share first? We want everybody to share, so don't...
I'll say for me, it's been helpful in creating clarity around a number of things. So
are you in a place where you have more clarity?
Is that
what you're saying? So tell me what you're clearer about.
I'm clearer
about...
Well,
that wasn't clear before and that is clear now.
About how much time and energy I want to devote to marketing. And...
Yes.
And what feels like an appropriate way for me to market You know, I have a friend who says, if it's fun, that joy comes through. If it's not fun, it's going to show. So why bother doing it?
Yeah, there's validity to that for sure.
So
sometimes you have to find a thing that's unfun and find a way to make it fun.
That's true.
Because, you know, sometimes you just can't get in to certain places without doing things that you're uncomfortable about to begin with.
Right. And I think that's part of it too, is that I have more clarity around the kind of client I want to go after for myself.
Right.
You know.
Okay, good. So people jump in, you can comment on what Leanne said. You don't even have to put up your hand. You can just click your microphone.
I totally get what you said, Leanne. Like, and I think in some ways that's where I was when I started. I would have said, I don't like marketing and I don't want to have to. And now I think I'm seeing it differently because I feel like I thought it was something else. And I thought it was doing things I don't like to do, but I do like talking to my clients and I do build relationships with my clients. And when I have a good relationship with a client, now it occurs to me to say, hey, I really want to work with other people in your organization. Is there anybody else doing this? Things like that feel very comfortable, but wouldn't have occurred to me to say before because my eyes were not on, my attention wasn't on it. So that has been a freedom that has come from this. It's just my attention is on it in a different way. Like I thought it was just supposed to happen, but now I'm more in their mindset of like, they're not thinking about that. They all assume I'm so busy. They will say things to me like, I know you're so busy. I can't believe you were available. And I don't want to tell them I'm not busy because I don't want to look bad. All of that crap, you know?
That's an interesting dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't want to look like you have no clients whatsoever.
Yeah. Right.
But if you look too busy, so it's bad either way. So you have to simply ask and let them know and tell them. And
Yeah, right. And it's not really inauthentic to say, it's true that I am busy, but I always need to be finding new people to work with. And I really like working with your organization. Are there people here that you think I could help? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
And what's occurring to me though, and I have a real problem with wanting to do it right. That might be getting in the way, but I feel like I'm behind. And I probably am a little bit because I got busier than I usually do. And I feel there's a couple pieces I want to kind of go back and kind of stitch up and make sure that I've got them really tight so that as we move into the next part, I'm not feeling like I missed in third grade. I missed multiples of 12 and it always has bothered me. I still
times 11, 132.
I have no idea. I'm glad, you know, I have a calculator.
Right. Okay.
So there's just a couple things and I'm not even sure what they are. I need to go back. One thing that I've been doing, guys, that you might find helpful. I've gone into those interviews that Robert did and I've been driving a lot because my dad is ill. I'm at his house right now. And I take the links where it says download this link and I email those links to myself. And then when I'm in the car, I play them and I listen to these interviews in the car. And they are really interesting. I said, I feel really close to Robert because I've been with him a lot lately.
Yes.
But it is really, really helpful to listen to those things. It's just kind of weaving this all in. And because the interviews are on something important to me, it's fascinating. Makes the time go by.
Sometimes I'll recommend a particular interview in the homework. Sometimes I'll suggest one to a particular person. Nancy is in a place where she wants to hire an assistant.
Yeah.
Maybe partly virtual, partly local. We talked about that a lot.
Yeah, and that might be helpful.
I'd done an interview with a person named Melanie Benson Strick. It's in the expert interviews. And it tells you all the things you need to do to set yourself up to hire that person.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot of things that I've even forgotten that are in there that are really useful for certain things.
Yeah, it's super helpful. And pricing was another one I liked. But Leanne, one of the things about that assistant interview I got is that there are parts of the marketing that I don't want to do, like a follow-up letter. But if I have somebody to do that, and if it becomes mechanical, she can send out, I'm assuming it'll be a she, the follow-up letter for me automatically. And then that will be in place and I don't have to worry about that detail because I'm not a detail person. I have a feeling you aren't either. Right? Big picture.
Yeah. So I really have to nail you down to specific tasks. So it's like, what was that task?
Yeah, I have no idea. I like the idea of it though.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually that way too. I have to really struggle to get all those details.
Yep.
Okay. Good. Thank you. It's been fun working with you.
Thanks.
You have a great attitude.
Thank you.
You know, that's half the battle, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. I think my mother's genes for that.
Good. Well, yeah, use what you got, right? Okay, so who else would love to
back on what Nancy just said?
Okay, hi.
When I first started my business, as far as not looking, you know, you want to look busy and not too open, I purposely would not answer the phone, even though I had no clients. I would let them leave a message, and I wouldn't even see them that week sometimes because I thought it would look ridiculous if I was so available. So I totally get what you're saying, Nancy. I played the same games. And, but now I don't. And when I answer the phone, people are like, oh, I didn't think yet. I get you on the phone. They're so happy. So exactly. It's just funny.
Hey, you got me between appointments. So you're lucky, whatever.
Yeah. I say stuff like that and I don't have to play those games with myself anymore. Sometimes I choose not to answer the phone on purpose for different reasons. And that's okay.
Right.
So.
Right. So what else is going on? Share with the group.
All right. So I feel like a little like mini Robert teaching this class because I really feel like being a student in your class has helped me so much as far as the structure and the carry through with my program. You know, and I had, like I've said before, I've been thinking about doing this program for years, like maybe 5 years. And I took a break after teaching another program, so I wasn't ready to move into something immediately. But I said, when I quit that was how I rationalized it. I'm like, well, I'm gonna do my own thing because I'm just done with that. So I took a break, and then, you know, a few years ago, I thought, all right, I really got to start pulling this together, and I took baby steps towards it, but I did not know how to, you know, implement everything, you know. And that was, you know, when I was looking for a course, that was what it was. How do I take what I want to do? I had a pretty clear vision on what I wanted to do, but I didn't know how to do a bulk mail program. I didn't know what I'd write. I didn't know, you know, so many of the logistics, and even, you know, how to structure the program. I had changed that so many times within the last, you know, 6 to 9 months, even, you know, even up to the last minute, as far as the content, what I'm doing with it. But having this class has been so, so helpful in so many ways. So now that I taught the first one, it's almost like a euphoria, seriously, just because I've been working towards it for so long, feeling like, well, I'm going to figure it out. But it was very difficult to see how it was going to actually happen.
Yeah.
But now that it has, and I taught the first class, I feel like I can relax, even though my curriculum is not completely planned at all. Normally that would stress me out. But the fact that I just know it's going to fall into place.
You know what you're going to do this Saturday, I hope.
You know, I'm not even 100% done. And I'm okay with that. I have,
okay.
And I'm finding time to work on it in different ways than I normally work, which I think is probably a process just from being in this class and having so many more responsibilities with doing your homework, having more clients, working on this new program. I've had to get creative, and when you can let go of the stress around things, it just flows. So for example, yesterday morning, normally I'm busy getting ready for work and I don't really sit down to do any work, but I just had ideas. I turned my laptop on. I wrote my outline for the entire class on Saturday without any problem. It just flowed. And now I just got to fill in some blanks and I'm all set. So yeah. Getting more things done in a short amount of time has been eye-opening that I could do it.
You know, that really happens, Carol, and everybody else, when you've got a project. You've got a deadline. You have responsibilities to other people. When we're not playing the game that way, it seems we don't have time. We can't fit things in. But when we're, you know, you've got to fill, you're going to try to fill the class and then you have to deliver the class. You just find the time and you find it's really not that hard. You just find it. Sometimes you work later at night. Sometimes you work a little on the weekend. Sometimes you fit it between breaks. For instance, I have about a half hour break or so between clients. You wouldn't believe what I get done in that half hour. Mm-hmm. I write outlines for programs. I follow up things. I do a ton of stuff in that half hour. Because I only have so much time. So bigger and better projects for you.
So, you know, so that's a little bit of a struggle, though, is just understanding how I'm going to take this and build on it so it actually becomes more lucrative. Because I still don't feel like I'm pulling in the income that I'm capable of. I still don't really know how to, you know, create it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's one thing. And Leanne, I have to thank you again for your suggestion about that app, that HT Recorder. That was amazing. And I'm using it. And I never would have known about it if you hadn't mentioned it. So that's another huge benefit from this program.
Is that a recorder for your on your phone?
It's on the phone. It's an app. It's a simple app. It was like $15, I think, and it makes you just hit a button and it records. And not only that, but it has different options. If you're in more of like a one-on-one, you have one option, so it picks up the sound appropriately. If you are in a classroom, which is the setting I'm using, it picks up the conversation among everybody. Or if you're in an auditorium, it's another setting. So it's very versatile. So I could see using it in multiple ways. So that was a great suggestion.
Is that iPhone or Android?
Well, I have an iPhone. There's an iPhone version. There's an iPad version. I don't know if Leanne, you know, if there's an Android version.
Okay.
Yeah,
HT Recorder.
Okay. HT. So it stands for Happy Talk. HT Recorder.
Okay.
Happy Talk.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. You seem to be having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm enjoying it more than I thought as far as the actual, now that I'm getting into more the nitty gritty, not so much the marketing, but now getting into the program, it is fun, which is a little surprising because when I was teaching other people's curriculum, it was very draining and I really didn't like it as much. But now that I'm teaching teach, way better.
Yeah.
Way better.
So, Carol, you know, it's one program at a time. And as you go through this, you'll start to get ideas of other things. You might create a place on your computer or your notebook or whatever to start to write down other ideas for other possibilities. You know, programs like this can turn into virtual programs, possibly. They can be, they can turn into workbooks, possibly. They can turn into other products. They can turn into various things. So, for instance, my InfoGuru manual turned into the marketing action groups that I first started doing in 2003, and I did tons and tons and tons of those, and I did them virtually. But people that already bought the book wanted more hands-on stuff. And then people who have hands-on stuff, sometimes they want other things. They want more information or more specific drill-down information on things. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can create. But one thing at a time. Don't get too far ahead of yourself.
Okay.
Don't get overwhelmed. Okay. Did Sarah Taylor join us yet? Yeah, she didn't. I talked to her yesterday. Anyway, who would like to go next?
I can. I'm here. I'm not driving anymore. This is good news.
Okay, you're just sitting in your car?
Just sitting.
Okay, fine. So what's going on with you?
It feels like kind of I started off at a reasonable place, and then I dipped down into the trenches of despair. Everything just, I just couldn't seem to move forward. And even having the, you know, the calls and the website and all the information was helpful, but I was still stuck on how to do it personally. Like what, some of the stuff that I've been stuck on for a while, I was still stuck on.
Yep.
What really helped is Robert started giving me a little tough love and really working on pushing to get things the way they needed to be and getting that feedback. And that's made a huge difference. And for somewhere along the line, I'm beginning to get a glimmer of what this marketing speak is, which is very different from the way that I've been unhappy with the way that I've been writing my website for 10 years. Never got it to a place where I actually wanted to share it with anybody. It was just kind of there. And I'm starting to get excited about what's actually on the website now. It's finally beginning to reflect what's inside my head. Getting it from inside my head to on paper. I don't think in words, so trying to put words around concepts has always been a big struggle.
And yet, Sharon, you're really a good writer, which is sort of hard for her to get. But when she writes stuff, it is really, really good. The article you wrote is excellent, for instance.
Okay. But there were a lot of really bad versions, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to go through bad versions to get to the good version in many cases. Yeah.
So what you're doing, what's helpful is Robert's really helping me to focus. It's how to talk in a way that's authentic without being business speak, and how to and it's just being genuine, and that's, it's kind of like, oh, I don't have to do this marketing double speak. I can actually just talk about what I do.
Yeah, marketing double speak. Yeah. We should put a logo, double speak, a line through it. We don't need that. No, it doesn't have to be hypey.
Right. So anyway, it's feeling more positive, and my biggest challenge right now is just trying to find time. I get a lot of interruptions, and I'm working on just carving out chunks of time so that I can work without interruptions. And sometimes it's at between 1 and 4 in the morning, but at least it's uninterrupted time.
Right. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that for writing. Sometimes we don't. I can write and be interrupted and keep writing, but sometimes you just need to focus. Okay, so you're going to work on some other pages of your website to give you that assignment.
Yeah.
And we're getting really close.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Tough love, huh? Okay, good. All right, who's next?
So I'll go next. This is Sarah Jane.
Hi there.
So as you know, I think as everybody else knows, before I started in the program, I knew for years that I needed to create a new website. And even though I knew that I needed to do it, I didn't know how to do it or what to put on it, et cetera, et cetera. So the guidance that you gave us obviously was beyond extremely helpful, which is why the website finally got done. And I think that what I found in doing the website was the HEOB letters really became the springboard for me to write the core articles, which basically flowed very quickly. And I had sent out one of the core articles to about 75 people, and I got fabulous feedback on it. And obviously that made me feel very good. And because of the success with the core articles, it's made me feel more comfortable in writing more. Even though I like to write, I never knew what to write. So I've already outlined in detail 2 other articles that I will be writing. And so where I am now, the website is going to go up hopefully sometime next week. Nevertheless, I feel like I am still at ground zero in the sense that I am not at all confident that I have a clue as to what I need to do to go about generating business. And I'm also not confident that once you give me guidance in how to go about doing that, I don't know that I'm going to be successful. And I'm saying that in part because this is the New York City metro area, and it is very different and very challenging.
Very competitive, yeah.
It's not just competitive among coaches. It's needing an axe to open up the doors.
Yeah, the thing that Sarah Jane has been experiencing is she gets a contact. Someone says to contact or whatever. She does. She sends the information, and then it goes into a black hole. And some areas of the country, i.e. New York, is probably harder because they're crazier, busier than other people. It's one of the biggest things. One of the things we have to remember, I mean, we'll be working on this and trying to fine tune it. We'll be trying a lot of different things, but, there's several reasons why people don't get back to us. And the reason that we always think it is we think they're definitely not interested. And sometimes that is true. And people make quick decisions. It's like, okay, we don't need it. We got a lot of coaches right now. We don't need one out of the time to go through talking to her. So they choose not even to respond politely. They just delete it. Okay, that's a certain percentage. There's another percentage, and who knows what it is, depending on where you live and who your clients are and all that kind of stuff, where they're just kind of crazy busy and they might be kind of interested, but they got 27 other things on their desk. One thing, you know, I've given you that material for Jill Conrath, but reading some of more of her stuff can help in that. She says any executive at any given time has 50 hours of work on his or her desk. So you have to say, okay, well, that's crazy busy. And your message has to really break through. And see, you have an interesting service in that they don't need your service now necessarily, especially with abrasive leaders.
Well, that's one of the services.
One of the services. But just as an example. But it's really good to know that that service is available. There is a real top expert in that that can come in and turn things around. And they don't have to buy you now, but to educate them about you, to give them articles and stuff like that. All of that works in the background over the long term. Where so all of a sudden people call and say, I hear you do this. Can you tell me what you do? I saw your stuff.
So but, can I contradict that?
Well, you can, except I've seen that happen over and over and over and over again. So I know it works, but go ahead.
No, so I had somebody that I know who used to work for me, who works for Citibank now, contact me because they needed it. They had an abrasive leader that needed coaching. So we had a couple of conversations, and I sent her some materials. And guess what? And Leanne can relate to this. They hired a company instead of an individual person. Does that company have the qualifications to do what I do? Absolutely not. Do they have any individuals in that company who can do what I do? Absolutely not. But they like hiring companies, not individual contributors, e.g. the challenge that Leanne and I have and what we want to overcome. And I have no idea how to overcome that.
Well, this isn't the answer, but it is an answer, and it's a really good question. Whenever you have an objection, a stall, we're not interested because of that, whatever, you've got to find an argument that hits that objection directly, and you usually have that in writing. So if that, for instance, if that's almost always the case or frequently the case, bring up the objection before they do, before they reject you. So you're approaching somebody and they're kind of interested and you say, well, let me send you some materials. I also want to make sure you read this sheet that I, maybe it's just a one or two pager. And it's called Why You Should Hire Me to Work with Your Abrasive Leaders Instead of a Bigger Company. And you make a strong argument for that. That's why I'm talking about all this. Maybe market data doesn't help with this, but her experience, you know, and the article about abrasive leaders actually addresses that pretty well. She probably didn't read that letter. You didn't have it then, right?
No, I did have it. Her boss decided almost before she even knew about me that she was going to go with a company.
Yeah. So sometimes
nobody gets fired for hiring IBM.
Yeah, and they should. Right. They should be. In some cases, but you know, that's the way it is. But you know, she has vast experience. She has a lot of testimonials and she's really packed her site with that. So, you know, as moving forward, she'll be able to provide those materials. Maybe the article is enough, Sarah Jane, but maybe something specifically that why big companies usually can't handle this, what they usually do and why it doesn't work. I mean, that can have people go, at least they'll consider it. It doesn't always mean you'll win, but it gives you another throw at the basket, so to speak, for them to consider that this might be a good way to go.
Leanne, would you be interested in putting our heads together and writing an article that we could both use?
Sure, yeah.
Or maybe
a video.
Concepts are there, but there'll be slightly different articles for each because you've got different target markets. I like that idea.
I think the underlying problem is the same. I mean, it's the reason I don't submit proposals anymore to the federal government. Nobody in the federal government is hiring me directly. I do a ton of work in the federal government, right? But nobody's hiring me directly. But yeah, I'd be interested. And I wonder, the thing I was thinking as you were talking, Sarah Jane, is that it also helps sometimes if they can get a taste of who you are before they commit to X dollars. And that's why I was wondering if maybe we do both, do an article and then maybe do like a 5-minute video or a 3-minute video together, something like that. Yeah, I'd be more than happy to work together on that. Yeah.
So other people are working with big companies, not all, but Nancy is for sure. Sharon is for sure. So those people. And, you know, Sharon has something that is, it's not on your list of things to buy. Okay, get leadership training with horses. It's not on anybody's list. Coaching, that's on people's lists. Market research, therapy, sales coaching, that's on people's lists. So we all have our various challenges. And so remember, marketing is 100% communication. We're trying to find ways to make an argument that has people say, that makes sense. I can see that that's valid. I can see that this person is qualified. I can see all these incredible testimonials. I mean, when her site is live, I want you to all take a look at it and see these testimonials. And it's like, you know, it's overwhelming evidence. And often a big company simply doesn't have any of that for this particular thing, except that they're a big company and they say, well, we as McKinsey can do anything. We walk on water and we bring, and it costs them 15 times as much. Oh, to get this person, and all that'd be $175,000. That's only their salary for a year, but we'll keep them, et cetera.
They're right. In a lot of cases, it's got nothing to do with the quality of your work. It's got to do with the safety of the job of the person who's hiring you. And they will, there's a lot of jobs I don't have.
Yeah.
Because big companies like Eagle's Flight and other kind of stuff, they're so well known that the person who's choosing them is not at risk. I mean, I've had horse sense days get turned, because I can do team building without the horses. I've had them turn around on me 2 days before the session because somebody didn't like the idea of horses. And so we do a half impact session without them.
Yeah.
The other thing
and
we do.
This is why, Sharon, this is why you, you know, more evidence, more testimonials, more examples, more proof.
It does. So there's a section of the market. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what we do there is I subcontract to another company when I can, and this is more of the other leadership stuff. So we affiliate with bigger companies. And Sergeant, you may be able to do that because you're bringing something unique to that organization. They'll charge you out at double what you're charging, and the company will pay it.
Because they have confidence in the bigger companies. So
yeah, they would rather pay twice as much for Sarah Jane through Ernst & Young than they would pay for her on her own. Smaller companies are more dollar sensitive. So I work directly with the smaller companies, but the bigger companies are used to paying the big dollars, and we subcontract.
So here's something else to think about in terms of this. Is how can you look like a somewhat bigger company? You know, the look and feel of your website is important. You know, for instance, we did the website for Sarah Jane looks corporate. There isn't anything frou-frou about it. You know, it looks corporate.
And so what I did, which I think many other people did as well, is I used we instead of I throughout the entire website. And in the About Us page, the very first line uses the phrase my global associate coaches or something like that to indicate, which is very true, that I do have a lot of that I have a global network.
Yeah.
But that's, and so that's how I did that, but that's still not a company.
Yeah.
And I had asked people if they want to have their bios on my website, pictures, et cetera, et cetera. And a couple of people said no, they did not. It would interfere with their website, et cetera, et cetera. I don't understand that. I didn't press it.
Yeah. They would interfere with their website. Oh gosh. No,
with their marketing brand.
One thing, you're not a corporation, are you?
No.
Leanne, aren't you? Aren't you an LLC?
Sub S.
What?
I'm a sub S because I've been incorporated long enough that it was before LLCs were popular. And,
okay.
You know, if I were incorporating today, I probably would be an LLC. But at the time, sub S made the most sense.
Okay. So that makes
I am, Robert.
You're a corporation. Okay.
I am a corporation.
Horses, you gotta be.
Well, no, it's not. It's a different corporation. I have three names. So it makes life even more complicated.
Right. We're going to work on that on the website. So anyway, these are issues. And, you know, you can't surmount every issue. You know, you can't change an absolutely fixed mindset in a buyer. And sometimes you can. You can give enough evidence, enough proof, enough track record, enough testimonials that it's enough. It really is. You know, when the coaching industry started, you know, when I was in my office in Palo Alto, and that was about 15 years ago, I had a partnership that was creating a coaching organization, and they were going into companies, and they had a whole stable of coaches. And you work with some of those people, and so do I think you do, Sarah Jane, sometimes, yes? I know he does.
I don't understand what you're asking.
Do you subcontract under any other companies for your coaching?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I want to get away from. Like
yeah,
Leanne
exactly.
wants to get away from it as well. That's the whole problem.
Yeah. But it was just, you know, the coaching business had only started. You know, I was there in the office where the coaching profession started. I don't know if you know that. I told you some of it. Frank, what's his name? I'm blanking out on his name.
Thomas Leonard.
Yeah, I subleased an office with him on Commercial Street in San Francisco. And And then Coaches Training Institute started. I did their first marketing, created their first brochure, helped them with their marketing. So it was like, you know, there was no credibility for coaches whatsoever, but he started minting a lot of coaches and creating coaches. And then it became, pretty soon, people figured out, how do I make this more corporate? And now it's become bigger, that they want you to be more like the people that they hire, not you, because it's easier on their bookkeeping and their tax, you know, and all this liability crap. It's just easier for them. So the question is, are there ways to make it more easy for them? You know, so maybe if you were an LLC, you know, I remember meeting a guy whose client said, oh, you're a corporation, right? And he said, no, but I will be by next Monday. And he got it done. He just became a corporation. There's a little more paperwork, a little more cost in some ways. But you can also be an employee, and you can do certain things that way that can be an advantage to you, et cetera. I never went that way because I never worked with big companies, so it just didn't make sense for me. But anyway, it might be something you want to consider. Okay, so thanks, Sarah Jane. And we'll be working on ways to get through. I mean, that's what it's all about. So who else would like to share? Who's next? Roberta? Okay, unmute yourself.
Yeah, I'm gearing up for two talks and a half-day workshop in May, and I feel it's like they're all around the same topic, but I've got all these threads going at the same time in terms of marketing. So, I've got this chart on my wall with dates for newsletters, and I've got articles for those, and putting together scripts for the three things. I've never quite been this busy, and then I have to, you know, the first talk is next Wednesday evening, and I'm working on my second article. I've just sent it to my editor, so I've got the first draft done, so that I have the article to hold up. You know, it's a second one because it's more geared towards this topic, but I'm having a great time. You know, writing is a really good way for me to find new ways to language what I've been trying to communicate. So I've come up with some things that I think are really innovative. And I'm having a great time, and people are enjoying my email, my newsletters. They're going out more often right now because I wake up in the morning and I have something to say. And as I'm writing the articles, there's little spin-offs that can be, you know, 300 words for an article for the newsletter. So I've become a bit of a recluse because I'm writing a lot, you know, but I'm writing like multiple things at the same time. So it's kind of a schizophrenic recluse. But I'm enjoying it, and I'm really excited to see how it happens. I've been working with your Unstuck process on a number of things just recently on, you know, just reframing the way I approach speaking, because I tend to not practice enough. And so yesterday I was taking a look at where that comes from and how I can change the behavior so that I'm, because the truth is, I'm really excited about what I'm communicating, and I learned that I like to speak. So my old behaviors really, you know, are really ready to be repurposed or recycled or donated to somebody else.
Donated to somebody else. I love that.
Donate them to somebody else. So anyway, that's what I'm doing. I've got a lot of the stuff on your list that I haven't quite finished yet, but I'm just really 100% in this, getting ready for these talks.
So I have a question for you. So what belief did you discover about the thing having to do with preparation for a talk?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Because, you know, it's hard to change a behavior unless you identify a belief.
Yeah.
Because the behavior keeps springing back if the belief is still hidden under there.
You know, it doesn't come to my mind right now. It's like I've got things get compartmentalized, and I have the list of new behaviors, but I can't quite articulate the belief that's in there, was in there, is in there. But,
well, you're the only person to ask, so look.
So can I just throw out the chain, Roberta? It's beliefs, and once you have a belief, It's turns into a thought and then a feeling and then behavior. So if you write down that chain and you write down in that chain what you know.
I followed his, so I know the chain and I wrote it down. I just don't have it in my memory right now because I was working on a number of unstuck processes over the last week or so and I don't have it all right in front of me. But thank you.
No, but I'm just saying when you're stuck, if you have the chain in front of you, you can write down what you know within that chain and then fill in the rest.
Yeah, I have been using his form. So thank you. Yeah, I understand that. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I think that's a really good point though, Sarah Jane, because sometimes we can access our stuckness better through feelings than through thoughts.
Yeah. Exactly. You feel into
But it. Then when we are aware of the feeling, then we can also get to the belief. But it's hard to get to the belief conceptually. So I say, well, what are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling afraid, or just as a general example. So what's that fear about? Oh, that people won't like me up on the stage. They'll boo me. They'll reject me. Now, that could be associated with something in your past. It always is, but we don't do that work. We don't, that's like therapy, digging into your past. We don't want to do that, right, Carol? Is Carol still on the call? You don't have to be a therapist yourself. You just have to identify that stuff that's going on. And I had a really good conversation with this, with Sarah Taylor yesterday, where we have ups and downs. Y'all have ups and downs, right? You know, we usually have ups when we're winning. That's natural. We completed something. It's good. Robert liked the article. I liked the website. I reached someone. They got back to me. I got a client. Of course, that triggers good stuff in us. But then on the bottom part of the trough is Robert didn't like the article. You know, I said you think something, saying, well, this isn't working, or I've done it to other people, this really needs improvement. It's like, oh, God. Or you can't get it done, or you can't get through to somebody, or you just don't have a good idea that you need at this point. You don't have the information. You fill in the blank. So one is sort of a winning place where we feel the winning. The other place is sort of where we're losing. So the winning stuff, no problem, except we can sometimes get too addicted to winning. It's sort of like, if I'm not winning, then all is lost. It's really almost bipolar. It's like, you know, instead of, hey, right now I'm winning. You know, 5 more people signed up for my class today. Yay. That's fun. You know, I exceeded my quota. It's amazing. So I feel good. But when I'm not getting my quota, when people aren't signing up or doing whatever, then I can feel down. So the question is, how do you deal with those down places? And the thing that I said to Sarah is, you need to be able to stay, you know, I can explain this in more detail than I really want to, but I want to give you a sense of it. You have to, in a way, let it be okay that you have losses. Just let it be okay, because because there's always going to be losses. We're going to win and we're going to lose. Sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on various things that are happening and where we are in our business. When you're starting and learning things, you're losing all the time. It's not working. The material isn't good and you're not getting through. So you have to have some perspective on that. You know, anytime we're learning something, we're losing. Has anyone seen a small baby? Leanne, you have a couple kids, right? Did you notice when your child was learning how to walk and they fell down all the time, it wasn't a big deal? Right? It was like they just got up and tried again. They just got up and tried again. But over a period of time, our culture makes losing bad. And so it's in the language, it's in the culture, it's just, you know, if I didn't succeed at that, it's bad. And then it gets harder to have the win because we're beating ourselves up and we're not feeling we're good enough and we don't know how to do it, and then it becomes a cycle where we're down for a long time. What if you could just let it be okay that we're losing at some points? This didn't work right now. Okay, what's the next step? What can we do next? How can we just be quiet and feel the loss? See, what we do is our mind goes on overdrive when we have a loss. Very, very, not very often can we just be quiet about it, just be reflective about it, or meditative about it, or just be with it. Feel the feeling of loss. And then when you look at it that way and just let it be, do you notice what happens? We've all gone through this. What if you can just let the loss be, the feeling of the loss be? What can happen then? Time for somebody to jump in with a brilliant answer.
For me, I find just looking at it is helpful.
Just
turning to face it.
Just seeing it as it is.
Right, just being with it. And then it's no longer, I don't know, just kind of, it's like mist. Disappears.
And it passes, it evaporates ultimately, right? So it is what it is. We have the feeling, we have the thoughts. So we have to be what is. But the last thing we want to do when we're having a loss is be with what is. What we want is to change now, if you don't mind, God. We would like it to be better. And then we say things like, it shouldn't be like this. Other people are succeeding this, I'm not. So we compare. We look up the past times we failed, and we make an assessment about our whole lives and success and failure. And, people are at different levels with this. But sometimes we can spiral down. And then obviously doesn't help it. So the thing of being, just being with it. You might even say embracing it. Hey, it's okay. It's what is. As I was talking to Sarah, I said, I look out my window and there's a tree there and there's a river there. And sometimes there's ducks on the river. And, the tree isn't evaluating itself, it's just being. The river is not evaluating itself, it's just flowing. The duck's not evaluating itself, it's flying and landing and quacking and stuff like that. Can we be with our thoughts just like the river, the tree, and the duck? It's just what is at the moment. This is something I might go into more depth with some of you if you're really getting stuck with things. But, you can have this place where things are okay the way they are. Because what's the one thing you know for sure about life, about business, what's the one thing you know for sure? The answer.
Everything changes.
It's the only constant is change, right? Except for one thing, your awareness doesn't change. Who you are is constant. Leanne's not so sure about that. I don't know. Your thoughts?
Well, I think who we are at our core is constant. I think yes. Awareness can change radically.
No, awareness is our core. Please don't believe that. Awareness, it's all we really have is awareness. I'm not talking about perspective. I'm not talking about opinion. I'm not talking about a point of view. Just who we are is aware. Aren't you aware of everything right now?
Not as much as I could be. I'm aware that there are additional levels of awareness beyond where I am now.
Well, that's a thought about it. That's a consideration of thought and evaluation about awareness. So I don't want to get deeply into that. It's really hard to do with a group of people to talk about that. But the basis of non-duality is awareness is the starting point. We're also a lot of other things. We are free. We are open. That's who we are. There's something permanent in us which is not a something. That isn't an object. It's not like our thoughts. It's not like our feelings. It's just something that's there. Who we are. So whether you can grok that conceptually is not that important, but just to be with what is. Who is being with what is? who you are. Anyway, so let's go into less lofty things and more into practical things. Although this stuff is very practical in a lot of ways, because if you can get out of stuckness, unstuck work is as practical as you can get. Because when you're stuck, everything's not working. Your creativity shuts down. Your possibilities shut down. Your ideas of what you can do shut down. So who haven't we heard from? I don't think we've heard from Oliver. You're next and perhaps last.
Okay. I had a training consulting business for years. And about 4 years ago, I got burned out big time. And I thought, screw this, I'm done. So I talked my wife into selling our property and everything we got, and we head for South America. Tried 3 or 4 different countries, you know, blah, blah, blah. And actually, it was fun. Arrived in second place was Panama with 7 suitcases, and finally left Ecuador exactly 1 year ago with 3 suitcases. And, no
stuff. Were they stolen or you just gave stuff away?
I gave away my watch, and I had a real nice watch that I loved. But I got sick was really the, the big factor, and barely made it back to Florida exactly 1 year ago. So I'm lying there in the ER, hardly able to function. And the cardiologist told me, after I pushed him quite a bit, that I had about 1 year to live. And I'm thinking, I'm lying there and I'm, digesting this. And I thought, bullshit. this is not going to fly. So anyway, it's been 1 year later. And I went through a whole bunch of cardiologists and a whole bunch of finding people and therapy and all sorts of stuff. And I was actually online for a stem cell research at the University of Miami until a couple of weeks ago when I did the final tests. And my damn heart has improved so much, I'm pretty much normal. So,
I can't have the cure because I'm not ill anymore. Oh, damn.
You're not ill anymore. You don't need this stuff. And actually, I owe it to going through a whole bunch of cardiologists and finding the right young lady who was very aggressive and didn't believe that there's such a thing as no or can't. And anyway, so then here I am, and now I've feel good for months. But so I got to do something with my life besides dickering with the ladies in the Mercado about the price of a pineapple or something. So I started rebuilding the business. And quite honestly, it was a struggle. Conceptually, just thinking, shit, I got to go back to work. Now what am I going to do? I don't have any clients. I haven't talked to anybody for a couple of years. Where do I go? So that's when I got involved with the program. And Robert's helped me clean up the website. More than that, actually, clean up my mindset to figure that I have something of value to offer and not just give it away. So I've been talking to people actually quite a bit, and I'm amazed at how much people seem to value what I have. So the first thing I had to do was, in my mind, figure out, okay, what am I going to charge for this? And I talked to Robert back and forth, and I thought, this penny ante stuff is out the door. So I've been writing a blog. I'm on number, 28 or 29 right now, and a very small list, 200, 50 people or so, but I'm getting really good response and I'm getting calls for it. And I have a few people on the tee for actually becoming clients. And I have several people that I've had really good conversations with about referring me and getting the right kinds of referrals. And that's been more of a process than I actually thought it would be, because you can't just say, geez, here I am, I'm back, I'm alive, I want to do some business, and who do you know? Because it's too big for people. It's universal. And Robert, again, helped me with this. So this last exercise, and by the way, Sarah Jane, on yours, the way you positioned that, I couldn't figure out how to use a lot of the data I dug up. And I read yours, and I thought, I'm going to steal that. different data and whatever, but it's, you know, it looked really good. So I'm getting to the point where I'm not there yet, but I'm making calls anyway. And I think before the end of this year, I'm hoping to have one good new client. I thought it would be by the end of this month. It's probably going to be the middle of next month. And by the end of the year, have half a dozen or so. That's probably more than I want to handle. But it's been really, really good. But
I also convinced him to more than double his fees.
Well, this is true. This is true.
So you don't need 12 clients.
Get half, a little bit more.
Get half as many at twice the money. So
yeah.
And we looked at the relative value of his thing to what they were paying and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's the thing. I used to think in terms of how much people pay per hour or whatever. And now I look at if we work together, what kind of results will they get? And I know just from stuff I've done, even if I was quasi-incompetent, which I'm not, just by the fact that I'm holding their hands and showing them how to do some sales management stuff, is going to make a huge difference. I don't even have to be good. I just have to be there. So now I have to open the doors and say, hey, I'm going to help you. And I don't think price is an issue, really. And besides, I got out of working with corporate America years ago. Unlike, you know, where Leanne and Sarah Jane are looking to go, I don't want to go there. I want smaller companies. I want to deal with the owner or president. And I don't want to deal with a whole bunch of non-decision makers and people who are posturing. I just don't have that kind of patience. And besides, I don't have that many, you know, I may have another 6 or 7 years left in this business. And I don't want to waste my time doing stuff I don't want to do. I don't want to walk into a building anymore and get a knot in my stomach and think to myself in my mind, what an asshole. Just not doing that. So there, this has been extremely helpful. And I'm finding, because I'm big picture too, and I was not writing stuff down. I was not having a solid plan and stuff to do every day and followed. And I find that by making myself do that, which I do most of the time now, is making a huge difference. And, well, you know.
We're about to wrap up, so.
Sorry for being so long-winded.
No, but that's good for everybody to hear the overview of what you've done. I mean, and now you're pretty close to getting a couple clients. It looks pretty good, right?
Yeah, if I don't get.
He also is a guy who is a past client who has a ton of referrals he's willing to give him. So you're starting to work with that guy.
Yeah, and I got all the stuff to them in terms of who I work with and what I'm looking for. And now they're digesting it. And we're going to have a conversation about who they're going to refer me to and how we'll do it.
Okay. So to wrap it up, any quick questions or comments about Oliver?
Yeah, Oliver, thanks for sharing your story. I didn't know all that, and it was really, it was great. Great to hear the backstory from you. It's wonderful.
Well, Roberta, stuff happens, and if you spend 40 years being an expense account aristocrat and eating and drinking whatever is nailed down, you ultimately pay the price.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, thanks.
Okay, guys, good. So thanks for everybody sharing, looking at some of the issues, what you're working on, et cetera. I think that's useful. I hope it's useful. The next thing I have for you, I'm not going to do a session on it. I'm going to simply point you to it. If you go to the mastery page and you go to April, I'm not going to go there. I'm afraid of crashing. And if we've got this far, and if it crashes, I'll be in that down place. I'm not going to do it. But you can find it easily. What it is, it's a short course on how to do outreach with email, and it's by Jill Conrath. This is free information that Jill Conrath offered on her site. I designed Jill Conrath's first website, 20 years ago, long time ago when I was doing websites. And I've interviewed her a couple times. She's got a few good interviews in the club as well, in the expert interviews. But this has three parts to it. It has the basic course that explains why it's hard to reach people and what you have to say and what not to say and the things that work and don't work. Then it has an audio portion that you can and should listen to. I think it's only half an hour long, so it's pretty easy. And then there's a workbook if you want to really get into it. And then I have a couple other things. I have a couple articles on how to write headlines and subject lines for emails. And I just added a new piece today, which is a recent e-zine from Daphne Gray Grant on 11 mistakes that you shouldn't be making in your email. And it was a brilliant article. It's just fantastic. She writes, she's my editor. And one reason she's my editor is she writes so much better than me. I said, I need your help. So I'll probably never write as good as her. But just there's so much good detail and things that you might be missing. So it's a quick read, but you'll find that useful. So it's all about email. So next time we'll be talking more about that, and I'll be talking to you individually about that in some cases. Because email, in so many ways, is the lifeblood of our business. We're always sending email. Email is key, and most of us don't do it nearly as well as it could be done. You know, you can get appointments by email. You can get somebody's attention. You can follow up effectively. But we can make a lot of mistakes in our email. They can be too long-winded, too formal, too complicated. They can ask for too many things instead of just one thing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So please start studying that material. It's not that arduous, but it's really in-depth. I think you'll find it really useful, every single one of you.
Robert.
Yeah. Did you find it?
No. That's why I was wondering.
Well, click on the April tab and scroll down, you know, go into
where is the April tab?
Well, you have the tabs for the different months for the different recordings.
Am I in the right place?
No, you're not in the club. You have to go to /NMM5. Actionplan.com/NMM5.
Ah.
I've only sent that to you all 500 times.
NMM.
/5. No, just 5. Not gut con. That's it. That should do it. Except when it doesn't. Try it again. Actionplan.com.
Yeah.
/NMM.
NMM.
NMM, New Marketing Mastery 5. There you go. Click on April. Glad you're doing it, not me. And there is the course, Jill Conrath Program in Email Prospecting. That's the guide, the audio, the workbook, the Daphne Gray Grant article, and article and headlines. It's all there.
Okay, great.
And I even have a little thing below there.
So for
sorting your email, I tell people about this all the time and they can never figure it out. Well, if you want to sort your email and create different email boxes for different things and have email that comes and goes to that box, here are instructions for Mac Mail, Outlook, Gmail. There's a YouTube tutorial here. And there's various things you can find on Google or YouTube that can show you how to do that pretty easily and pretty quickly. It's a really useful tool. For instance, all the email that you send, I put a rule on every one of your emails so it goes into the mastery folder. So it's not mixed in with all my other email. It's easy to find the email. It's a real big time saver. You never lose anything that way. And I have every single e-zine that I subscribe to has their separate mailbox. So it just goes right into that mailbox. I can see, well, what did Daphne say about this? And there I've got 50 of her emails, things like that. I've been doing this for years. It's really a useful thing for email. Anyway, so that's it for now. Our next meeting is when? It's today's the 26th. It's May 9th. May 9th and then the 23rd. Nope. I'm looking
at it's May 12th.
Yeah, my mistake. Sorry about that. Today is the 28th. It's the 12th and the 26th. Okay, guys, that's it for now. We'll see you in your appointments, and have a great week and weekend.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Bye. Bye, everybody.